Welcome to the King's Cost, dynamic teaching recorded live at King's Church in Cambridge, England. We hope you are blessed and challenged by listening to the ministry today. And now, here's the broadcast.
Good morning. If we can open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. And we are going to look or read from verse 41 to 44. So that's Luke chapter 19, from verse 41 to 44. If you found it, we can all say amen. So I'll read Luke chapter 19, 41 to 44. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late. And peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. Amen. It's a bit of a heavy verse scripture there. But it is a time Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. Amen. The Old Testament prophets had prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And now Jesus has come. So if you look from the book of Luke chapter 1, he documents the birth of Jesus. From being a baby, his parents brings him to Jerusalem, to the temple, to dedicate him to God as a baby. We see him there, there's Simeon at the temple, and Anna, who lives at the temple. They recognize that in this baby, there's kingship. They recognize this is the Messiah, even as he's a baby. And so Luke takes us through this journey of Jesus, from being a baby, and he gives us a glimpse when he's 12. He enters the temple. He reads the scroll and he fulfills what was prophesied about him, where he says, I've come to bring the good news. And after that, we don't hear much about him. But then later on, as he's an adult, 18 years later, he gets baptized by John the Baptist. And he goes into the wilderness, he fasts, and the devil tempts him. He conquers and he comes back. And so we see him in ministry. So he goes around, he performs miracles, he heals the sick, he preaches the good news to many cities and many towns. Some accept him, some don't. But he does his ministry, amen. And so as prophesied, this is the time now Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. For what we know in Jerusalem at this point, I think this is a message preached mainly around Easter time, Palm Sunday, when Jesus is entering Jerusalem on a donkey. So he comes and as he's about to enter the city of Jerusalem, he weeps. He weeps for the city. And I read that, I thought, why would Jesus weep for a city? Somewhere in the Bible it's mentioned Jesus wept for his friend when he died. And this is the second occasion we hear that he weeps, but this is a different weeping. He's not just crying for a friend who has died. He's weeping for a city. And I believe those who study the Bible in depth who know that, and I think that's the argument anyway, that he cries loud. It's not just a, you know, privately. They hear him weep. And as he weeps, he says some words to the city. That's why we can read these words, because somebody heard him say them and they've been recorded. So he watches as he is about to come into Jerusalem. He weeps for the city of Jerusalem. And my friends, this morning I also asked my question, why would Jesus cry or weep for a city? You see, he understood, if we go back slightly in the chapter we are in, chapter 19, in Luke, chapter 19, 37 to 39. As he's on a donkey and he's riding and the followers of Jesus are happy. They are celebrating the king. They recognize this is the king who was to come. He's here. So they are so making noise, celebrating. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to 39, it says, as Jesus' disciples are celebrating his entry as king, some of the Pharisees told Jesus to rebuke his followers. Some people, Pharisees to be specific, they told Jesus, tell your people to keep it down. So Jesus knows they have rejected him. The city of Jerusalem was just not an ordinary city. It was the city of God. It was the capital of Israel at the time. You see, if you go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, it says, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I give this land, from Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Israel, with the city of Jerusalem is within this land. God gives it to Abraham and his descendants. They did not ask for it. They did not go to God and say, we will want that. He gave it to them. It's your land and your descendants. So you see, Jerusalem is within this land. And when we read 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. David then took up residence on the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inwards. David conquered Jerusalem. It had already been given to them anyway. But he makes it the city of David. Jerusalem was just not ordinary. It was the city of God. The city of Zion. In it, God's temple was built. And so, as Jesus is coming to this city of God, what other city should recognize the King and the Son of God other than Jerusalem? They should have known him, but they don't recognize him. They reject him. So the city of God rejects the Son of God. He weeps. Some of you will understand what it's like. If you're a parent with children, or teenagers or young adults, you know, or if you're caring for people, you're trying to help. But sometimes you know I've spoken to them, we have given them advice. And you know what they are doing is not right. What they are doing is going to lead into something that's not right. The consequences of their actions are not good. And so you sit down with them. They don't listen. They'll tell you, oh, no, no, you don't know everything. I know what I'm doing. But you know the path they are taking is not right. And so sometimes you get to a point where you know you've spoken enough. You know you've lamented enough. You know you've nagged them enough. But all you can do is weep. You weep for their life. You weep and say, God, take over. And so Jesus weeps for the city. He had tried, and if you read the book of Luke, you find incidents where the Pharisees who go where Jesus is performing miracles, as they're observing doing so, they don't encourage or they don't get encouraged themselves. They try to bring him down. He tries to convince them. He tries to show them that I am the king you are waiting for. But they don't get it. So what he can do is just, he weeps for their lives. He weeps for the city that should have recognized him. You see, Jerusalem had an idea of their own king. This king coming on a donkey, humbly just coming into their city, it just did not fit their narrative. You see, Rome was in charge politically. Rome had conquered and they were ruling Israel. So the Israelites wanted a king who come to give them back their land from the Romans. Somebody who come toe to toe with the Romans. But that's not how Jesus was. And they were not happy with what they saw in him. They also forgot that they'd been given this city by God. It did not belong to them. It's God's city. And so the question I have for us this morning, do we recognize Jesus for who he is? You see, we have plans for our lives. We have schedules for our lives. We have what we want for our lives. And we have what we want Jesus to fit into. But he invites us to say, I know the plans I have for you. I know your future. Invite me as I am on a donkey. Invite me as I am. He knocks on the door of your heart. Do we recognize him and accept him as he is? Holy, and say, Lord, as you are, come into my life. As you are, my schedule should fit yours. My plans have to be yours because you know better. Do we accept him wholly? Do we accept him as he is? Jesus could see what will happen to Jerusalem because they failed to notice him. They failed to accept him. Can we accept him as he is? As we read about Jesus in the Bible as he is, can we just save him that way? Amen. In Luke chapter 19, verse 2, it says, Luke chapter 19, 42. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. My friends, Jesus is our everlasting peace. Jesus is our peace. You see, Jerusalem was successful. At the time of Passover, there were many pilgrims who came to sacrifice at the temple. It was a buzzing city. The high priest resided there. They were in charge of the temple. The temple was in Jerusalem. There was activity happening in Jerusalem. The Romans who were ruling had constructed structures that were grand in Jerusalem. It was a successful city. The Pharisees who defended the Jewish law were in Jerusalem. The Sadducees who protected the temple were in Jerusalem. The scholars of the law, the Bible, were in Jerusalem. A lot was happening in Jerusalem. And so the people of Jerusalem, if you had to ask the high priest or those who resided in Jerusalem, are you at peace? Some of them will say yes. Why? Because there was no war. They were not fighting against any other tribes or countries. It was quiet. But Jesus here comes differently. He says, if we had known what would bring you peace. Because they didn't have peace. They didn't have Jesus. They rejected the man who bring them peace. They relied on their political alliances. They had a good relationship with Rome. You know, as the high priest, the Sadducees, they have relationships with the Romans to just live in peace. But Jesus wanted them to find peace in him. And so my question to us this morning, are you at peace? Have you got peace in your life? Have you got peace in your heart? If not, where are you finding or trying to find peace? What ways are you trying to find peace in your life? Jesus is our only peace. Sometimes it's our past mistakes. They come to haunt us now and again, reminded you did it. Yes, you did it. 20 years ago, you did it. 10 years ago, you don't sleep. Jesus has come to reconcile us to the Father. He came to forgive. He came to die on the cross for our sins. Invite him in your heart. Invite him in your life. And we'll have peace that surpasses all understanding. And sometimes you're not so sure about our relationship with God. If we ask each other here, where are you at with your relationship with God? Some of us are not sure. And that can be a source of unrest in our lives. Yeah, I'm not so sure if I gave my life to Christ. When did I do that? I'm not so sure at the moment if I'm really committed. Invite God into your life. I accept him fully. And he will bring you peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. We want God's peace. The world can give peace, but we know it's temporary. Look at our world today. I was talking to someone this morning, and you talk about one country, you just realize it's the whole world. Things are not right. But you see, we can talk about it and we find we are powerless. We can't change anything. So when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he fulfilled his ministry. He fulfilled his the calling upon his life. He fulfilled what he had come to do. He died on the cross. He rose again. He went back to the Father. But the situation politically in Jerusalem did not change. Rome was still in power. But Jesus went on to fulfill his ministry. The politics of this world will change. People will come in power. They will go. Things will change. We are not in control. We will never be in control. But God is. God is. And somehow in such chaotic situations and in such worlds we live in, we have to find peace. We have to find a way of living in peace. That yes, everything is happening around us, but somehow we have the peace of God. Somehow we have Christ in us and we walk in him and life is all right. But we can only say that if we give our lives fully to him. If we intentionally say, I want your peace, Lord. I want you to be Lord of my life. So whatever is giving you unrest, whatever is troubling your heart, let God take control of that. Invite the Holy Spirit to journey in this world with you. We need his peace. Amen. In verse 43 to 44, Luke 19:43 to 44, it says that before long your enemies will build ramparts against you, against your walls, and circle you and close in on you from every side. They'll crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place, because you did not accept your opportunity for salvation. Some versions will say you did not recognize the time of visitation. As the title of my sermon, The King's Visitation. Who knows here that God's words are true? Do we all agree with that? That what God says will come to pass. What he say will happen. Many prophecies have been said in the Old Testament and they came to pass. Those which heaven, they will come to pass. And we are assured of that. You see what the words that Jesus said to Jerusalem about Jerusalem destruction, they came to pass. 40 years after, in AD 70, Romans destroyed Jerusalem. They absolutely destroyed everything, including the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus said those words 40 years before. How do we know? There's a historian called Josephus. If you've got questions on that, you can come on Wednesday and ask. Tuesday, sorry. And Wednesday too. We'll ask questions and then we'll pray about it, right? So a historian called Josephus, he documents the details that happened on the day that Rome decimated Jerusalem in AD 70. This is a historian, is somebody who is not a disciple or anyone in the Bible. So history has proved that what Jesus said took place. God's words will come to pass. What has God said about your life? What has He said about you? That time and time we doubt. Did He actually say that? That sometimes we want to give up on our journey in Christian, as Christians, because we are not so sure where we are going with God anymore. But I want to remind you this morning, what God said to you before, those words still stand today. He is with you. He is for you. He will always be with you. He will sustain you. Those are the promises of God to our lives. It wasn't God's will for Jerusalem to face these consequences. That's why Jesus came for them, so they could accept Him. He came to save them. He came to minister to them. He came to redeem them. He came to be their king. But they did not recognize Him. They did not recognize the king's visitation. And so, as Jesus is demonstrating God's love to them, they rejected it. There are consequences to it. If we reject Jesus as our Messiah, there are consequences to it. In Genesis chapter 1, God created heaven and earth. The earth and everything on it belongs to the Lord. But the world forgets whose it is. And what we do with what's in the world that God created has to work for us. We abuse what He created. We forget it's God's world. The bodies that we have, you and I, we were given by God. First Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Sometimes we forget whose we are. We forget. We are God's children. We belong to Christ. We are His as He is ours. And so if we are His, let's use what we have to glorify Him at all times. Let's use the time the bodies is given us to worship Him. What we have in this world, let's use it to glorify God. And so as we sit here this morning, let's remember this. God's words who always come to pass. God's words will always come to pass. Don't give up on the promises of God. Because in due time, He will fulfill what He promises. God is not a man that He will lie. He is faithful to the end. So I want to encourage us this morning. In whatever area in your life you're finding difficult or you're about to give up in, be encouraged. God remains faithful. Amen? And remember this. Jesus is our everlasting peace. And I compel all of us this morning to recognize Jesus for who He is. To love Him for who He is. To invite Him to take over our hearts, our lives, as He is. Amen? If the team can come back, please, that would be helpful. Thank you. You see, Jesus came. He came in human form. He took the form of man. He was carried 9 months by a human mother. God Himself came as human. Sent His Son to live amongst men. To demonstrate the depth of God's love for humanity. He came, He persevered with men, He lived like men, He was born in a manger, He lived a life that men would reject Him for because He had no form in their eyes. But He came to show us God's love for us. We see Him weeping over His city and its people. The love of God for His people. If only you knew what would bring you peace, He says. If only you who follow Me knew what will bring you peace for the rest of your life. If only you who have received Me knew what will bring you rest. He asks, and He's asking today, do you know what will bring you peace? Jesus brings peace, my friends. We have received Him. He invites us to fully embrace Him. The King has come. Let the king in. The king has visited. Should we let him outside? Shut the door? He doesn't fit our schedule. He doesn't fit our plans. The king is here. Welcome the king. The king is here. Lay the red carpet for the king. Hosanna to the highest. The king is here. Open your hearts to the king. The king is here, church. The king is here. King's church, the king is here. Why don't we stand in the presence of the king? The king is here.
Thank you for listening, and we trust that the Word of God has inspired you today. For further information about King's Church, or to access our large archive of other recordings, go to www.kingscambridge.org. If you're listening on iTunes, we would love you to leave us some feedback. God bless, and goodbye.